Hey, everybody. Welcome to the next episode of the Strand Tennis Center podcast, filled with tips, advice, tennis, not tennis, just life advice, too. Whatever you need. Like it on YouTube. Share it on the podcast as well. Thank you.
All right, everybody. Welcome to the Strand Tennis Center podcast. I'm Steve Capo. I am your host. Sometimes I say Capo. Sometimes I say Capo, George. Capo is the Italian way. Capo became Americanized, and everybody started calling me, my family, and I just, you know, we started saying it and Americanizing ourselves, and now I've become Americanized. But Capo is really the way it's called. Capo di Capo, you know, the head of the head. That's the leader, the Capo. I'm not in the mafia, but that's the name. Well, I do like The Sopranos, though, but the funny thing about that, before I get into this review, my father hated The Sopranos. He's 92 because of the whole thing. He's like, you know, this Sopranos crap makes us Italians look like shit. I said, Dad, it's a show. I mean, every right?
I'm gonna argue that.
Yeah, right.
In Sopranos, it does. It's not your normal Italian show.
Correct.
It's not a mafia show. I watched it this year for the first time.
And what did you think, George?
Blew my mind.
Yeah.
I thought it was just gonna be like a Scorsese type of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Dude starts off in like therapy.
Yeah.
Like, no, it. It's worth a watch. It's not. It kind of makes you rethink the whole stereotype thing, and I love it.
That's great. No, it's. I think it's one of the top five shows to me. Sopranos, Breaking Bad, Ozark. Like, what's your top show for you?
Breaking Bad, Ozark are definitely up there. Sopranos is. If I watched it when it came out, probably different.
Yeah.
Better Call Saul's getting up there.
Yeah, that's really good. That was really good too.
I haven't finished it yet.
Yeah, that was really good. It got me into it, and I went right to watch Breaking Bad. I was like, oh shit, I gotta watch Better Call Saul. And then there's Game of Thrones my wife loved. I didn't watch it that much. Everybody liked that, I don't know.
By the end of it, I was over it.
You were done of it? Okay. Yeah, so my father hated that because it was like, you know, he's old school Italian, and he's like, they think every Italian's in the mob now and all this crap. I said, well, okay. All right. But my father knew, I guess he knew some wise guys. I don't know. I mean, maybe I don't know. But so it brings me on to the 80-20 principle. There's a great book by Richard Koch, because think about the 80-20 principle. There's how many shows out there, George, and they were talking about this in this book. This is not what I'm talking about, but it helped me remind me that basically everything is the vital few. 1 or 2% of the movies make about 80% of the revenue for all of the movie industry. It's crazy. So there's only like, there's so many movies out there, so many shows, and really a few of them only make any money. And this book, The 80-20 Principle, which is Pareto's principle, which is an Italian economist as well, that he's kind of discovered this, and I'll go through it, that really, and we've discussed this before on the show, that really there's only a vital few things that really make a difference. Pareto discovered that 80% or 20% of his pea pods created 80% of the peas, things like that. He realized that 20% of the community held 80% of the wealth. And this varies a little bit. It could be 15, it could be, you know, 1595, whatever. I can't even do my math. And this book helps you hone in on what are those vital things. Sometimes, most of the time, we're spending 80% of the time on 20% results, and we're wasting most of the time. And we feel like, oh, I'm efficient, but I'm not effective. So you're doing all these things, you're really busy all day, but you're not really accomplishing anything. Instead of really stepping back, honing in on those things that are super, super vital. When you find the 20% of things, you can actually explode. So I'll go it over in a tennis terms. I'll go over it in business terms. So business terms. I wrote some notes too, so I don't forget and I can be responsible. I've never this prepared, George. Usually I just wing it, George. But I feel like I have to be more professional around George. No. It's no slight on Santi. We love Santi, but George has got all his equipment, and I feel like, oh my God, I got to step up to the plate here. So, business side. I want to find, if I'm running a business, I want to find 20% of the customers that spend the most money or close to 80% of it. Think about it. in a business, there's going to be 20% of the expenses are going to 20% of the expenses are going to create 80% of the net expenses. 20% of the customers are going to create 80% of the revenue. Happens a ton of times, and it could be even worse in some areas. It's your job to hone in on those 20%.
Whether if you have 2,000 customers and there's 400 of them that you have to work on, but then when you find that, you have to focus all your attention on that and to make sure, and then this is the usual problem that people have, they think, if I just only spend 20% of the time on them, the 80% that pays all the bills, I'm not going to make any money. But that's not true at all. The 80% actually waste a lot of your time and money when you can just double down on the 20%. The greatest salespeople don't sell 100,000 people. They found that the best salesmen resell the same people. So they'll just go back to the people that they sold to. And that's where they make the most money on resales. And that's really it. So don't think that you have to satisfy everybody that walks by. You know, especially you try never to sell the unsellable. That's been said many times. Just move on to the people that are interested and go back to the people that were interested. Resell people. That happens a lot. So you got your 20%. You can do this with everything. You can find which 20% of the products create 80% of the revenue. So I'll go through my P&L, and you go through what is selling. You'll find that out of the 20 products, only two of them are selling, and you're wasting all your money in sales on the other 18. So find those products and hone in on them. Simplify the best 20% of the practice. Focus on the key drivers. Identify the few products and multiply, and get rid of the rest. Really, it's really hard to do, but you have to. I've had trouble with this myself, George. You're like, well, maybe we should add this, give this to them. But some of the best businesses, George, you'll know, Chick-fil-A, In-N-Out Burger. What do they sell? Two things, three things? In-N-Out Burger sells a burger, a double cheeseburger, and that's it. And it's insane. They just do it really well. They don't have all these SKUs. Go, what do you got?
Quality over quantity.
Yes, quality over quantity. So you want to go deeper than wider. So you're going deeper. Costco has the smallest amount of SKUs. You think they have a lot. They actually have the least amount of SKUs out there, and they sell a ton. Each Costco makes, oh my God, they make so much money, Costco. It's crazy. So again, hone in on what is the most valuable. Let's see. When you find the 20%, offer exceptional service to them. Target new products, developing them for that group and only for that group. Innovate for that group. So any new products you would test with them, any new ideas you would test with them, because they're your core audience. They're the people that are going to really be the early adopters of what you're selling. Just think of the Bud Light commercial. What was the trans Bud Light commercial? What was that? I forget that their core audience is not that. That's not, whatever you may be politically, you may not like it, or you did like it. They were not catering to their core audience. Their core audience is male beer drinkers in middle America. And they pissed off those 80%. And they were trying to cater to a niche that wasn't theirs. So you got to be real careful about broadening something and you're just going to piss off your core base. You don't want to do that. Same thing with your employees. If you're in sales and you've got 20 employees, 20 salespeople, you'll find that two or three of them are making all the sales. Really hone in on that. Nurture the people that are doing the best. It should be a meritocracy. It shouldn't be you're hanging on to someone because they're a nice person. You know, I'm for, you know, merit. That's just me, Georgie. I want people to, you know, do their jobs and do it well and take pride in their work. It is what it is. So what happens is, in that vein, if you cater to the people, the 80% that is wasting your time, the 20% that's really valuable is going to lose their jobs because the business is going to go out of business because you're not focusing on the people that are creating value for your business. Keep them happy. And then hire the same people, so you just double down on that. So in other words, same thing with customers and with employees. If you find three great employees, ask them if they got any friends. They probably have the same mentality. If you have 20 great customers, ask them if they have any friends or offer them a friend to come for free with them. Because I find that if you cater to the 80% that cost you a lot of money, they'll find friends and they'll bring them as well. And everybody will waste your time. You want to hone in on the people that are good people. You provide them good service. They pay you on time and they pay you well. There's nothing wrong with that. And they'll find other friends that do that. Usually those people don't like to hang out with people that complain or annoying and go, oh, I want more. I want more. This didn't work out. So think of those things. Other business thing. Do I have another one? Most decisions aren't important. This is all from the book, Richard Koch. Most are made by default. So most of the decisions that you're worried about are just not important. Think about how many things that you make, and they're really not a big deal. You probably have four big decisions to make a year. And the other ones are just made by default. Usually just happens. Sometimes it happens with me. Usually on the tennis court, if you think about it, if you keep on telling somebody what to do all the time, they can't really find the answer themselves. Sometimes I'll just say nothing on the court for 15 minutes and the answer will solve itself. Their body will solve itself. They'll see me hitting the ball. They'll mimic me. You don't want to try to force the person into trying to make a decision in their head, blah, blah, blah. It'll just solve itself. Just let it solve itself. What else do I got here? Before I get to the tennis part. And this is what you can look at. These are vital things. What is working well that was unintentional? That's what you can think about, too, in regard to these vital things. Sometimes you'll come across something, even on the tennis court, and you'll come across something, and you'll be playing, and then all of a sudden, at the end of the match, somebody will say, boy, your backhand slice was fantastic today. And you go, boy, I didn't even realize I had a good backhand slice or something like that. So something unintentional will happen. You'll win a match, which you normally don't win in a certain way, and you'll be, oh, boy, I hit like 12 lobs today, and it worked out well. So ask your customer, if you're on the business side, ask your customer, say, hey, what did you like about this? What did you like about that? And you'll find collateral damage out of it. You'll find that, oh, my God, this person liked what I'm doing. I didn't even realize I was doing that. Well, I like the fact that you did that. I like this part of the lesson. I'm like, boy, I thought that was the last part. I thought it was a throwaway. So ask questions. And that'll help you find out what unintentionally is happening. What is going badly that we think we know, but we are wrong? That's always a good one. I love the fact when you think you know what mistake you're making on the court or what you're doing wrong, and it's not really it. And really say, I'm hitting too many times to this person's backhand when you're really not. And you're not hitting enough to the backhand. We have a tendency not to see things when we're involved in it. So definitely get some outside advice on what you think you know that you really don't know, which is really hard to find. So that you'll need outside advice for. What's important that's happening under the surface? There's always something brewing, George. There's always something going on. So you always want to know what's happening under the surface, and that also is asking people. When I go into a meeting, I try not to talk until the end. I like to try to hear everybody's opinion. That way I can hear what's really going on. Because if I start to speak, people will start to generally agree or just go along with it. Same thing on the court. Don't try to tell people what they're doing. Just kind of listen and hear it. And you can figure out under the surface what's really going on. Okay, so I'm going to get to the tennis part of this. 80-20 principle appears in your tennis game all the time. So I'm going to go through the list of strokes, George, because 20% of the strokes are providing 80% of the wins for you. And let's go through the strokes. So one is the serve, two is the return. I think I put it twice. Three is the volley. Four is the backhand. Five is the slice. Six is the overhead. Seven is the lob. Eight is the drop shot. Nine is the half volley. So it's about nine. It's about 10. So out of all of those strokes, there's really only two that really make the difference. Serve and return. I can push it to three. Maybe it's not 80-20. Maybe it's 30-70. Because those two strokes are hit every point. Serve and return. Every time. So they're going to be hit the most, and they have the most effect. So if you can hit a good serve and a good return, and I'll give you the next ball. Let's say the next ball. So what do you practice when you practice? You practice those 20% all the time because it's going to give you 80% of the results. So when I do a lesson or when you practice, do your serve, do your return, do the next ball. serve, return, next ball. I would avoid everything else, just like everything else. Everything else will be solved for itself because you hit a good enough serve and a good enough return, the next ball is going to be pretty easy. And then if you have a fourth ball, that's going to be even easier. So serve, return, next ball. I would say 30-70 on the tennis court. And just practice those, practice those, practice those, practice those. Out of an hour, I'd flip it. I'd spend 80% of that. And 20%, you know, just doing a couple other things. But it's really what happens is when we get bogged down with 80% of crap, we start working. Like, there's so many people that just drop the ball for, oh, there's a ball. Nice shot, Aileen. There's so many people that just drop and just feed it, and they play and they drill, and they never serve and return, and they never win a match because they're just so used to starting playing in the rally, and they never get the rally started. So don't be that person. Multiply the effort when you find it. Spend 80% of the time on 20% of the vital few, but flip that around. So what happens is... That's right. What am I talking about? Flipping it around. You're getting confused. You're going to spend 80% of the time, like I just said, on the vital few, on 20% of the vital few in the lesson. So this is a great thing, but you can also do this with life. There's some people that waste all of your time. They're called time wasters. They'll email you. They'll talk to you. They have a question. They'll have this. They'll have that. You've got to set boundaries because you'll spend your whole time talking to people you don't want to talk to. Right, he has a great thing here. It's called, I think it was like the island and the desert island, like of achievement. The island of achievement, the island, the desert island of unachievement. So write down in one side all of your achievements that have been very big and all of your things that are just a desert that are not, that you think are failures or whatever. And realize what is happening in those things. And there's also a chart that he's got, a happiness chart and an unhappiness chart. What makes you the most happiest and what makes you the most unhappiest? It could be, you know, unhappiness is answering the phone all day, or I don't know, like having to, I hate busy work. So in other words, if you start a job, you're going to try to outsource the things, number one, that you don't like because you're probably not good at them. So I always hated busy work, insurances, you know, contracts, all of those things. So you hire an office manager to handle those things. And Ruth Ann, who's fantastic, is so much better at me at those details. So it makes your life so much better to X out the 80% of the things you just do not like. How much crap, George, do you not like? Like, what's the main thing that you should X out of your life, you think, that you think is crap, George? Time waster.
For my work, if I can have someone do all the social media for me, for all my clients, graphic designs. Yeah. If I could just film.
Yeah.
I'd let someone else edit.
It's awesome, right?
Yeah.
See?
Yeah.
Like, and you're like, well, I'm not at the point where I can hire somebody because I got to do this. That's what happens, right? So, and it, you know, it's a funny thing for me, George. It always seemed to happen. And I was like, well, I can't do this. I can't pay this person more. Anytime I figured out how to scrape the money, we ended up making more money. It was really strange. It's very strange when you outsource and you think, oh, I can't afford it, and it works. It's a very funny situation. But yeah, so I just write the list and X that crap out. I just find things. I just only do what I want to do. Like, I'd like to do the podcast. It's fun, right? So I hire you to handle all this stuff that I cannot do. If I was doing that, George, over there, I'd be like, it's just, oh my God, holy shit, I can't do it. Forget it, I'm done. I would never do the show. Like, but so those are some great things. So make a happiness list, an unhappiness list, and then X out the unhappy parts, whether you hate talking on the phone. I don't know. I mean, anything it could be. There's a list of things. So hopefully this helps. 80-20 principle is great on the court. 80-20 principle is great in life. 80-20 principle is great in business. Hopefully it helps. Hopefully it helps George. Hopefully it helps me. Thanks, everybody. Enjoy the podcast. I'll talk to you.
Hey, everybody. Hope you like the podcast. Please share it with your friends, anybody that you know, anybody that's into tennis, anybody that's into bettering themselves, share it.